Exodus chapter number 14. I've been looking forward to preaching this message. The Lord gave me this message earlier in the week. And in my devotions, as I was reading, contemplating, meditating on this story in Exodus chapter 14, I want to read the entire chapter. It's not a long chapter, but I want you to hear the whole story. I want you to hear what the Lord did. And how many of you think that God's the same, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And folks, listen to me. If God can do what he did here for these folks, I wonder what God can do in your circumstance of life. Exodus chapter 14, what a wonderful story. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Exodus chapter 14, 10 plagues have come and gone upon Egypt. 10 times Moses stood before Pharaoh, let my people go. Now they've not only left, they've left with a mighty hand. They've left spoiling Egypt. And then now they are between Egypt and the Red Sea. They haven't crossed yet. And an interesting set of circumstances happen in Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and in his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth and before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, The Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the Lord and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, I just kind of want to like go hip hip hooray at the end of that story. Pretty exciting, because you know what, folks? That's my God. And I pray that he's your God today. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us, dear Lord. We're all going to face times where it seems like we are in an impossible situation. And it's wonderful, dear Lord, this isn't the only chapter that we can go to in the Bible. Time after time, Lord, we can go to the scriptures and see what seems to be an impossible situation. It seems like there is no hope. And yet, Lord, we have learned that as long as there's God, there's hope. And Lord, that you enjoy showing up when things are impossible. And so, Lord, I pray that this sermon will be an encouragement to your people. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray, dear God, that this message would bring such glory and honor to you that they would want to turn to you. They would want to be saved. They'd want to become a child of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I say often from the pulpit that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. This is exciting to me. I like that thought. I think if you really buy into it, you really believe it, it will change the way you read your Bible. How many times, and by the way, I heard a message Wednesday night, Tony Hudson preached at the conference out there in California. And how many times do I hear a preacher preach on a story? And I've read that story 100 times, and yet I never saw the truth. And he was talking about Moses' mother. And he was talking about her building that little ark. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, I'm going to tell you, I believe that there's reading the Bible, but the Bible talks about the importance of meditating on the Bible. And you know what meditation really is, folks? Meditating is reading the Bible, stopping, and then picturing what you just read in your mind. And he was talking about that mother with a mother's heart placing that little 9-month-old baby. For 9 months, she had hid him, placing that little baby in that ark. And the entire message was centered around that moment that mother put that ark in there. And you know, at some point, she had to let go of that ark. She just had to let go of that ark. She had to let go of that ark. And you know what? That's not always an easy thing to do, to be able to take what's very precious to you and just put it in the hands of God, just to trust God with it. And I thought to myself, why haven't I preached that? How come he got to find that and preach it before I did? That seems so wrong. But aren't you glad that you can go and hear preaching? And you know what? Thank God. I believe that God chooses to manifest his word through the preaching of the Bible. And so many times, you know what? You'll sit in a sermon and God will just open up something that you're familiar with in a new way, a different way. And so I was reading in Exodus this week and I was thinking about, all right, Jerry, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let's slow down a little bit. Let's just think about this story. And I had such a time in this chapter and I had such a good time. I thought, I'm going to go home and have a good time with my people on Sunday morning, and we're going to enjoy this chapter together. I'm going to call this message Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Between a Rock and a hard place. Now notice this in the opening verses of chapter number 14. It seems like Israel has gotten themselves between a rock and a hard place. Verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihoth Haroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. And I stopped and said, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, and God wouldn't have named these places. Why in the world would he take time? And you know, in the Bible, names mean something. I mean, they carry weight. People's names mean something. A lot of times what'll open up an entire portion of scripture for you is just to find the name, the definition or the meaning behind the name of the prophet, the name of the lady. Sometimes places in the Bible mean something. And I said, okay, I'm going to do a little study real quick and I'm going to find out about these places. And so I wrote down Pihahiroth, and then I wrote down Migdal, and I wrote down Baal Zephon, and then I wrote this little phrase, by the sea. And you know what? I said, I want to study these four things, because that's where God told them to camp. That's where God told them to camp, okay? And so what? Where would this place be? Well, Pihahiroth means the mouth of the gorges, the mouth of the gorges. Now, how many of you have ever seen a gorge? Now, there's a difference between a gorge and a valley. Have you ever been out to see the Royal Gorge out in Colorado? Some of you have, all right, or there's other gorges. Say, preacher, what's the difference between a valley and a gorge? Well, a gorge is a valley on steroids, all right? I mean, there's no gradual descent. It's just kind of so we're not talking about them just being up against some of the valleys of life. Some of us have been through valleys, amen? Some of us have fallen in a couple gorges in our life, you know, all right? There's a difference. This was the mouth of the gorges. Now, picture that. That has meaning. Then I looked at the word Migdal, and you know what? That means tower or stronghold. Now, I want you to think about where the Lord allowed them to be placed. Pharaoh was going to say this when he found out where they were camped. He would say this, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And so we know that from a strategic point of view, this was not a good place for Israel to be. Wait a minute, but wasn't it the Lord that told them to encamp there? And so by God's direction and because of their obedience, not disobedience, they find themselves, all right, I want you to imagine that they're camped here and they look out this direction and there are the mouth of the gorges. All of a sudden, there's no way to go that way. I mean, good night. You know what? These aren't valleys you can flee into. These are gorges you fall into. And then we have Migdal, which means tower or stronghold. And by the way, that's an interesting place. There is in Egypt a place called Migdal back in these days. And you know what? It was a place that was fortified. It was a place that towered above. Again, you're talking about gorges going down this way and towering mountains going this way. Well, I can't go this way and I can't go this way now. And then we see Baal Zephon. And by the way, that's an interesting little study right there. Baal, we know in the Bible that speaks of the devil. It speaks of Satan. It's a false god that represents the devil himself. What's Zephon mean? It means hidden or dark, or cold, or an unknown place. And so here we have the gorges over here, and we have the mountain over here. Well, maybe we can go this way, and we have Baal Zephon. And you know what that is? That is a place that is unknown. I would like to say this. I think the Egyptians would have said, it's a haunted place. It's a place you don't want to be, you don't want to go to. It's a place where the devil dwells. It's cold there. It's unknown. It's dark there. It's uninviting there. And so here I am. God told me to come here. And yet on this side are the gorges. And over here is the towering mountains and the strongholds. And over here is a place that in my worst nightmares I wouldn't want to go. It's a place where the devil reigns. It's a cold place, a dark place. And then it says, last of all, that they were by the sea. So now let's look behind them, and here is the Red Sea. And if you look up that word sea right there, interesting that different words are translated different ways. But the word for sea here means roaring or noisy waters. All right, are you in a comfortable place here? Would this be the place that I would have chosen if I was fleeing Egypt to encamp? I could see us passing through, but to encamp here, Lord? And so the children of Israel, I mean, they're fleeing Egypt and they're trying to get to Canaan land. And there's a promise that God has something better for them. And they've left Egypt. By the way, Egypt's a type of the world. Are you with me? You got your thinking caps on? And guess what? They went through the blood in order to get out of Egypt. And you know what's ahead? The Red Sea experience. But right now, all they know is that Moses, here's what the people know, Moses has brought us to this place. Now, he said God told him to bring us here, but if we're looking around, this doesn't seem like the kind of place God would bring anybody. Why would God bring us to a place where we have on this side the gorges, the deep gorges, on this side the towering strongholds, on this side the very presence of Baal, of the devil himself, a cold, dark, unknown place, and behind us the roaring and noisy waters of the sea, and then they look up, and guess who's coming from where they just came from? Here comes Pharaoh, here comes his armies, here comes 600 chosen chariots. And those are like okay, those are the Sherman tanks. Those are the really, all right. And then they said, all the other chariots of, I mean, you know what Pharaoh said? If there's a chariot, if it's got two wheels and you can put a mule on it, then you come. So, and it says all the host of Israel, all of the armed forces of Israel, of Egypt, all the armed forces of Egypt, here they come, Pharaoh himself, and they're coming because you know what? Pharaoh hardened his heart, and we just let our entire workforce, all those slaves go, and we're gonna correct that. We're gonna go get them. We're gonna bring them back here. They think their life was miserable before. Wait till we get them back here, and that's where we find ourselves. I think these people were between a rock and a hard place, and a hard place, and a hard place, and a hard place. Okay. Now I want to just take this opportunity and take a few minutes and lift up the Lord. Because folks, listen to me, there's not a one of us that from time to time aren't going to find ourselves right here. And I'm going to just teach you some things this morning because, preacher, if I find myself in such a situation, is there hope for me? Is there hope for me? I mean, Israel is there. Pharaoh says they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Pharaoh's hardened his heart. He comes with 600 chosen chariots, all the chariots of Egypt, captains over every one. The Egyptians are pursuing them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and he overtakes them and camping by the sea. That's where they're at when he comes. I want to teach you some things this morning. I hope you'll put in your heart. Number one, God will at times place us between a rock and a hard place. Now, I didn't say we'd place ourselves there. I said God would place us there. God directed them to where to set up camp. We see in the first two verses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn. I mean, they weren't even going this direction. He had to turn them towards this spot. And then he told them, you're not going to just pass through here. You're going to encamp here. And you know what? Sometimes God turns our life in a direction we didn't foresee. And next thing you know, we are stuck in a situation that it doesn't seem like we can get out of. Now, I want you to listen to me. Watch this. God directed them there. God put them there. Say, preacher, do we sometimes put ourselves between a rock and a hard place? Come on, God's people, help me out here. I mean, all God's people said. Now listen, there's been times Jerry Ross has put Jerry Ross between a rock and a hard place, and the Lord really didn't have a whole lot to do with it, okay? And by the way, we have evidence of that in the Bible and stories about that too. I mean, Jonah kind of put him, I know God orchestrated everything, but Jonah ended up, the reason Jonah was in the belly of the whale wasn't because of God's direction, because of his obedience to the Lord. And sometimes we can put ourselves between a rock and a hard place. Now listen, I want to just say this, and I'm not going to dwell on this because I want to stay within the boundaries of Scripture. But let me just say this, folks. Even in God's perfect will, even in the life of obedience, there's enough hard times. Are you listening to me? There's enough tough times. And so why in the world would you go outside of God's will into a life of disobedience and bring even more hard times upon you? I'm watching some things that are disturbing to me, and I'm watching some things that I'm in deep prayer over. But I'm watching people walk away from God's will. And by the way, it's not any different in this church than it is in any church in the United States of America. You talk to any preacher, pick up the phone right now and talk to any preacher, and you know what they'll tell you? If you ask them in the last 12 months, has your heart been broken? In the last 12 months, have you watched people that know better walk away from God's will? It's everywhere, folks. It's been predicted in the scriptures. And you know what? But I sit there and think to myself, you know what? Good night. Life is hard enough from time to time in God's will, in the place of obedience. Why in the world would I want to place myself in circumstances? Listen, you keep that pride thing in check. Okay, don't get lifted up in your heart. Don't get haughty before the Lord. Okay? Well, I know what the Bible says, but I just don't see certain things. And I hear you. I hear you. Stay under the umbrella of the protection of God's will. Listen, I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care if you don't always understand. Stay under the umbrella of the protection of God's will. And you know what? Jonah put himself in that circumstances, but we're not talking about that this morning. Let's take that and set it off to the side. What I'm talking about this morning in this story is this. God took them there. We're talking about a group of people that put the blood on the doorpost. They obeyed the Lord. They followed Moses out. They were delivered. And you know what? The Bible says that there is an angel of the Lord providing light by night and a cloud by day, and all they're doing is just following the angel that God sent to direct them out of Egypt. This is a group of people that is well within the will of God. And yet, they find themselves with deep gorges here and strongholds here, and the devil sitting right next door, tormenting them, and a sea, a noisy, roaring waters behind them, and the Egyptians coming towards them, and they find themselves in between a rock and a hard place. They were not there because of disobedience. They were there because of obedience. Now, why would God do this? Isn't that the question that comes? I mean, that's the white elephant in the room. In every circumstance, preacher, I'm reading my Bible. Preacher, I'm praying. I'm walking with the Lord. Preacher, I'm not living in rebellion against God. I mean, I'm not perfect, but in my heart of hearts, I want to please the Lord, and I want to do right, and I'm tender to his will. Preacher, how in the world did we get here? Why? Number one, God will at times place us between a rock and a hard place. Number two, look at verse 4. God does so to create an opportunity for him to receive glory and honor. For him to receive glory and honor. Look at Exodus 14:4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so, and I will be honored. You see, listen. God was creating a circumstance and a situation where he can show up and receive maximum glory and maximum honor. How about that? You see, folks, watch this. Well, preacher, I don't like where I'm at. I know, I've been there. Yes, I have. I've been there. I've been there at times where I look over here and there's the gorges, and I look over here and there's the towering mountaintops and the strongholds, and it seems like I can't go this direction because that's the devil. That's where he is. That's the dark, cold, unknown place. And I know Canaan lands this way, but all I see is a roaring, restless sea between me and where I'm supposed to be. And I look up and here comes Pharaoh and all of his forces, and I think to myself, God, you, did I get it wrong? I mean, you brought us out, and Lord, you sent the pillar of fire. And we followed it, and the pillar of a cloud, and we followed it, and you turned us in here. We were following you. This is your direction. This is where you told us to camp. And Lord, why? Here's the question. Why? God says, because from time to time, I need to create a set of circumstances in my children's life that allows me, listen to what I'm going to say, allows me to be the hero. Allows me to get glory. Folks, do you realize that since this day in chapter number 14, do you realize how many generations, how many young people, how many Jewish young people grew up hearing about the day that God showed up and split the Red Sea and they walked over on dry ground? I mean, folks, do you realize how many Bible sermons and Bible studies have been made? How many times a preacher's got up and just said, let me tell you what God did. Now, folks, listen to me. That doesn't happen, and God doesn't receive glory if there is a way for a man to fix it. Then God doesn't get the ultimate glory. He doesn't get the ultimate honor. And so at sometimes God just says, I'm going to create something that, you know what? You can't figure it out, and you can't fix it, and you can't find a different way. You know what? You're going to have to just trust me. There's no way to turn. You know what? If you try to go this way, you're going into the gorges. You try to run this way, you're going to run up into an impassable towers, impassable stronghold. If you try to go this way, you're going to go off into the devil's land. And if you try to go this way, you're going to drown. And by the way, you can't go back because here comes the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And well, Lord, why? Because I want to bring honor and glory to myself. That word honor, look it up. It means to magnify, to bring glory to. Folks, listen to me. It is not wrong for God to want to receive honor and glory. Let me say it, take it a step farther. Watch this. Stay with me here, all right? The number one purpose of our lives is to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Now, just let that settle in a minute. I'm talking about this selfish, selfie generation, all right? Let that soak in on you, okay? God's number one goal in life is not for you to receive honor and glory. God's number one goal in life is not even for you to have an easy, trouble-free life. God's number one goal in life is to bring honor and glory to himself. Now, folks, listen to me. Where does he have the opportunity to do that if there's never these circumstances? Oh, if we always can figure it out in our wisdom and fix it in our strength, when does God ever get glory? When is he ever honored? And so through every single person's life, God sometimes will choose to create circumstances in our lives that are impossible for us to solve in our own strength, in our own wisdom. If we can solve the problem, then we get the glory. But if God alone can rescue us, then he alone receives glory. I like to call these situations David and Goliath situations. David and Goliath situations. And you know the story of David and Goliath. But you know what? God created a set of circumstances in a valley where the Philistines were pitched against the children of Israel. And God allowed to be born on this planet a group of men that were giants, giants in the land. And God allowed one of them to grow up and be a fierce warrior by the name of Goliath. And God allowed him to show up in that setting, in that valley, and taunt and terrorize the children of God. And you know what? There wasn't anybody on the Israelite side that was strong enough to defeat him. And yet, listen, do you understand that God loves underdog situations? God loves this us against the world stuff. God loves it when, hey, Lord, all I've got is a sling and five stones, and look at that. And God says, good. Because if you beat that, everybody's going to know that God had to step in and God had to do it. Now, I'm going to talk about David and Goliath situations. Listen, every one of us from time to time are going to find ourselves between a rock and a hard place. I mean, you know what? We can't go to the bank and finance our way out of it. Okay, we can't go to the library and study our way out of it. We can't gather counselors and get enough human wisdom to get out of it, okay? There's not enough science to turn the situation around. I mean, you know what? It's just, It's impossible unless God shows up. It's impossible unless God shows up. Now, preacher, what do we learn next? All right, look at verse number 10. Too often, our initial reaction is fear instead of faith. Look at verse number 10, verse number 11, verse number 12. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Whereof hast thou dealt with us, thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now stay with me for a minute here, folks. Listen, at this time, when you find yourself in these types of situations, you're either going to give in to your fear or you're going to access your faith. And you've got to make the decision on that. Could I say this? The majority of the people that were there that day reacted in fear instead of reacted in faith. And you know what? I'm not even going to pick up stones and throw at them. Was it right? No. Is it very human? Yes. Okay, I'd love to be able to tell you that I've always, in those moments, my first reaction has always been faith. Most of the time it hasn't been. And sometimes I'll watch people when they face these situations, their initial reaction. Don't judge people too harshly on their initial reaction. Okay? Don't do that. Because the honest truth is, when we get into overwhelming situations, the tendency is to be overwhelmed. Okay, aren't you glad that God remembers that we're but dust? And you know what, I think I've said this enough that people know it, but I'm going to say it again. I've often said, you know what, good people given time and space will make good decisions. Let me say it again. Good people given time and space will make good decisions. Now, sometimes you just have to have some time. Amen? Sometimes, honestly, you have to have a little space. Okay? And so what I've watched is sometimes, you know what, sometimes I can help somebody and sometimes I just need to step back and give them some time and space. But good people, given time and space, tend to make good decisions. And you know what that allows? It allows us to be human. It allows us sometimes to have a very human reaction to a situation. Okay, by the way, if your faith is stronger than somebody else's and you go right to the faith, good for you. But don't be mad at the rest of us if sometimes we have to walk through the valley of fear to get up onto the mountain of faith, amen? But, you know, the children of Israel didn't react properly. And you know what, folks, this is what I want to try to sell you on this morning. Be careful of giving in to your fear. Because it's amazing what fear does. If we give into our fears, the next thing you know, we're saying things that are hurtful and we're saying things that are foolish. They're complaining to God in this portion of Scripture. Then they turn around and attack their spiritual leaders. And then they're tempted to turn back and quit on God. And we should have, and we should have, and we should have. You should have what? Never put the blood on the doorpost? You should have what? Never left Egypt? You should have what? Still been down there as slaves building Pharaoh's pyramids? You should have what? Not been a part of a miracle? But folks, listen to me, this matter of fear, the Bible tells us that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. And let me tell you something, sometimes we have to kind of go through our emotions and sort through them a little bit, but good night. If you jump on that fear train, that's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. It's so much better to react by faith. Now, let me ask you something. I think this is a fair question, because I don't know who's facing what this morning, but let me just ask you a question. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Preacher, I'm struggling in that area. Well, welcome to the human race. But at some point, isn't it time for your faith to kick in? Okay? The fear of man bringeth a snare. You want to just be caught up in a snare the rest of your life? And fight your way out of that snare and walk down the path and be caught up in another snare and fight your way out. I mean, at some point, Yeah, but preacher, you seem to be forgetting. You've already gone through this. We've got gorges, and we've got strongholds and mountains, and we've got the devil, this unknown, dark, terrorizing place, and we've got noisy, raging seas, and we've got Pharaoh and all of his armies. Don't you see, preacher, we're surrounded? Well, there's one direction you forgot to look. So what we do, we say, there's no way out, there's no way out, there's no way out, there's no way out, there's no way out. And God says, hey, did you forget about me? God says, hey, I'm giving you an opportunity to exercise your faith. Now, thank God, by the way, thank God for godly leadership. Notice verse number 13. Thank God that there's a Moses. Hey, this is what I want to challenge you to do. I want you to challenge you to the next time you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, I want you to not murmur and instead decide to be a Moses. Okay, anybody can murmur. Anybody can complain. Anybody can make accusations. Anybody can start saying crazy stuff. Okay, and that's what fear does. Next thing you know, fear's just making you say things that you would have never thought you'd ever say. But you know what? How about faith? What's faith say? Verse number 13, and Moses said unto the people, here it is. He addresses what the problem is. Fear ye not. You know what he's saying? You're reacting in fear. You've forgotten the Lord. Stand still. That's good advice. By the way, they might as well. There's nowhere to go. I mean, what are you going to do? Preacher, I just, well, go jump in a gorge, I guess. Okay. I mean, that's going to make things better. Or I'll tell you what, just run as fast as you can right to the side of the mountain and then back up and do it again and do it again and do it again and then, and then do it again. Or you could go off and join the devil. It seems to be the plan of action of a lot of people. Or you could just go jump in the noisy, raging sea, you know, just end it all. Or you could just, you know, walk out there and give yourself up and be taken back. Well, here's what you could do. Here's what you could do. You could just stand still. Now, let me tell you something. This is what we do mentally when we're in these situations. We're trying to figure out how to climb down the gorge. We're trying to figure out how to climb up the mountain. We're trying to figure out, is there any way to go over here and not be, I mean, even if it's for a little time, trying to justify going into Baal Zephon. I mean, because the way you escape Egypt is to go to the devil. I'm tired of being in a rock and a hard place. I'll just quit church. I'll just quit my Sunday school class. I'll just quit my bus route. I'll just quit going soul winning. I'll just go join the devil. That'll show the Lord. He should never put me in this situation. Now, you know what we all need to do when we get here? Because folks, listen to me, I've been there. And you know what? You walk up, you know what you're doing walking the floors at night? You're sitting there trying to figure out how to get down that gorge. And then you spend time over here trying to figure out how to climb the mountain. And then you're trying to figure out, is there a way we can make boats and rafts? And then you come over here and you say, well, you know what? I mean, maybe God wants me. No, he doesn't want you to do that. You know what he wants you to do? He wants you to stand still. I mean, you know, go through the exercises. Go through your options. And when you figure out, guess what? There's no escape. God says, why don't you just stand still? You know how many, listen, I want to help you with this. I think God goes to great lengths just to get us to stand still long enough to hear him. To stand still long enough to trust him. To stand still long enough. Listen. You know what? Did God lead you here? I mean, are you pulling a Jonah and running from God? Or are you trying to do the best you can to live in God's will? Were you following the Lord when you got here? Okay. By the way, if you're pulling a Jonah, then when the whale pukes you up, go back to where you're supposed to. I mean, you know, get back in God's will. But, you know, I'm talking about people that are in God's will. You're doing the best you can. You do love the Lord. And God's brought you to this place. I like that. Stand still. Stand still and what? See. Now, see, that's hard for me because I don't want to see. I want to do. Okay? I don't want to watch it fixed. I want to fix it. And that's not always a bad trait to have, but when it comes to the things of the Lord, sometimes God says, no, 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 because then you'll get the glory. Sometimes I want you to just stop fearing, look up with faith, turn on your faith button, be quiet, stand still, listen to me, and watch and see what I'm going to do. Which brings us to our last little formula here that I'm going to give you. What do you do when God puts you between a rock and a hard place? Do what Moses did. Reaffirm your faith in God. Did you hear what? Listen, okay, God's going to be the hero, but somebody needs to remind us that there's a God that's going to be a hero. Now, please listen to what I'm going to say. You know what Moses did? He verbally reaffirmed his faith in God. Okay, listen, when your family is here, dads, and there's murmuring and there's confusion and there's fret and there's worry, doesn't there have to be somebody in that situation that steps up and says, God, family, listen, God is still in control. And I know this seems impossible, but the Lord loves to sometimes create impossible situations. And what we're going to do is we're going to stand still. Okay, we're not going to jump in a gorge. We're not going to run face first into the rock cliff. We're not going to go to the devil. And we're not going to go drown ourselves. And we're not going back to Egypt. If God's given us absolutely no options, then he must have something that he's going to do. So you know what? Let's just stand still and let's just watch. And trust the Lord and see what he's going to do. Now, listen, in every church, there's got to be the voices of faith. Men, are you listening to me? There needs to be the verbal reaffirmation from men in the church during dark times, questionable times, impossible times. There needs to be voices of faith. There needs to be female ladies, virtuous women's voices of faith. Anybody can murmur. Anybody can complain. Anybody can panic. Anybody can go into hysteria. That's all the result of fear, not faith. But everybody else is going nuts. Then that means that it's even more important that there is a clear, strong voice that says, let's not forget God. But there's gorgeous, yeah, but there's God. But there's a stronghold, yeah, but there's God. But the devil, I know, but there's God. But there's a roaring, a noisy, roaring, churning, I know, but there's God. There's Pharaoh, but there's God. But there's God. There's got to be somebody. Somebody's got to say it out loud. When you're between a rock and a hard place, you have to make a choice. Watch this. Will fear choose your words or will faith choose your words? Okay? Fear weakens your resolve. It weakens your faith. It weakens your family. It weakens your church. It weakens the cause of Christ. Faith strengthens your resolve and strengthens your determination and strengthens your wife and strengthens your children and strengthens your church and emboldens those around you to trust in the Lord. All through my life, I just want to kind of stop and testify for a minute. You know what? I've tried in the time that I've been here as the pastor of this church, I've tried to be a consistent voice of faith speaking from this pulpit. I don't care what your circumstances is. There is still a God, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he hasn't forgot you. And by the way, he's got a winning record, totally undefeated. How about that? I want to be that voice. But can I tell you this? There's been times when I needed to hear that voice from my people. Because I'm made out of the same junk you are. And there's been times where my faith has not been as strong.
And there's been times when the devil starts whispering those fearful misgivings into my heart. And thank God, I want to say this publicly, thank God for men in this church. That even when they see that Moses' arms are coming down a little bit, they'll come over and say, hey, let me hold those up for you. God's not done yet. God's going to win this thing, preacher. God's going to win this thing. Your wives, men, need to hear that voice in the home. Hey, moms, your children need to hear that voice from their mother. By the way, kids, older kids, the younger kids in your family need to hear that voice from you. I mean, isn't it time to put all of this junk aside and just say, wait a minute, we didn't ask for this set of circumstances. I'm not happy that our options are gorge, mountains, drowning, the devil, or Pharaoh, and 600 chariots. I mean, I'm not thrilled to be here either. But I'm going to stand still. I'm going to watch. Because if God's given, listen, I'm not talking about not doing what God told you to do. I'm telling you that sometimes God don't give you any options and he wants you to just stand and watch what he's going to do. And so Moses, I like what he says here. Let me read it all. Fear you not, verse 13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. How about that? Man, I like that. I mean, you know what that is? That's a spiritual pep talk. I mean, that's the coach coming in at halftime when you're getting annihilated on the basketball court and saying, don't worry, there's a second half. The Lord will fight for you. The Lord, you hold your peace. And then, you know what I like about that? Moses, and this is what a lot of times, come on, you young people might as well know this, and church members, you might as well know this. You know, Moses a lot of time gives up and gives that speech, you know. Yeah. And then he goes up to the Lord. I just told him and I don't even know. And amen. Amen. And then we see in verse number 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, why criest thou unto me? Now, folks, here's the next thing I want to teach you. All right. Number one, watch this. Number one, what do you do when you're between a rock and a hard place? Reaffirm your faith in God. Verbalize it. Let people hear you say it. Amen. Number two, go forward. Go forward. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Now, watch this. I want to show you something, okay? Well, where's forward at? Think about this. Come on. I want you to use your mind. Just where's forward? I mean, we went through our options a minute ago. Where's forward? Well, let me tell you where forward's not. It's not that way. Okay? You're going to go back into the world because life got rough and things were unfair and some things happened you don't understand, so you're just going to quit on God and go back into the world? Seriously? You're going to go back to Egypt? Okay, is Egypt forward? Yes or no? All right. Is the gorgeous, is that forward? Now, folks, by the way, I'm just going to let you use some, I'm just going to help you use, you know, some logic here, okay? If that's where you were coming from, where's forward? That way. Well, preacher, but there's this big, giant, roaring, God said, go forward. Don't go to the devil. Don't go jump into a gorge. Don't try to run into the face of a strong tower, a strong mountain. Go, listen, this may not seem to make sense, but it's going to make sense in these quiet hours. Please listen to what I have to say. Okay, I've got a choice when I get here. God says, okay, I had you stand still. I wanted you to remind you who was going to fix this. But at some point, I want you to go forward. Okay, I have a land called Canaan land. Okay, it's the direct opposite of the direction of Egypt. There's Pharaoh here. There's the angel of the Lord here. Are you staying with me here? There's slavery and there's freedom. There's defeat and there's victory. There's the world or there's Jesus. I think one of the greatest pieces of advice that you can get from the pulpit of a church is this. Wake up every morning, read your Bible and pray, figure out where God is, and head on after him. Just get your bearings by reading the Bible. Get your bearings. Where's God? Well, he's not there. He's not there. He's not there. He's not there. He told us to go this way, and I don't understand it, but all I know is he says, listen, go forward. Go forward. Don't quit. Don't quit. Go forward in your faithfulness. Go forward in your service. Go forward in your soul winning. Go forward in your giving. Go forward in your Christian life. Go forward. Preacher, all right, number three, quickly. Trust the Lord to do what you cannot do. What can I not do? What can the children of Israel, what is it that they were incapable of doing? Verse number 19, and the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. Listen, I can't be that cloud between me and Pharaoh and his chariots. Only God can do that. I'm going to trust him to do that. Look at verse number 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. I can't do that. I can't divide the sea, but God can. Verse 24, and it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the... I can't do that either. But you know what I can do? After I still myself, after I go through my valley of fear and get back up on the mountain of faith, and I stand still and I reaffirm my faith in God, and I figure out which direction I'm supposed to be going, and I face that direction. And then you know what God said? He said, go forward. And he said, go forward before he split the sea. Right. Well, I don't understand it. I'm not going there because that's where the devil is. I'm not going there because that's where the world is. I'm not going to do something self-destructive. That's foolishness. So this is the direction I'm supposed to go. And he said to go forward. And so can you imagine Moses saying to the people, here's God's command. All right, ready? March! Forward! 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 And those grumbling, mumbling Israelites, listen to me, did something noble. They began to take steps of faith towards where God wanted them to go. And between where God wanted them to go and where they were was this noisy, raging sea. And then God started blowing with the wind. And he stood these, I mean, folks, are you listening? This is my God and this is your God. Okay. This is how God works. You've got to start walking. Well, let me have him divide it and then I'll know. He says, you start walking and I'll divide it. Well, I want you to show me the way and then I'll go. Why don't you go and let him show you the way? Okay. All right. So that means you know what you do. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in, you don't go to the devil. And you don't get into a self-destructive mindset. You don't go into self-destruction. And you don't go back to the world and quit on God. You just start putting your feet in front of each other. And about the time the first of those Israelites got to the edge of the sea, the Bible says Moses raised his hand and God saw that. He saw the steps of faith. He saw a hand raised, one hand raised. And you know what he did? He started blowing. And next thing you know, these waters start standing up. Ah, oh, I wish I could have been there. I mean, you know what the kids were doing. Don't tell me the kids weren't doing it. And Mom was trying to keep them from doing it, but the Israelites had a lot of kids, and those of you a lot of kids say, no, doggone, well, you can only hold on to two or three at a time. And I think some of those kids were walking with their hand in the water like this. You see a fish fly, kind of look, stick its nose out, look around. Little kids like this. Mom said, don't. Like, you know, you might put a hole in. I mean, it's a miracle. Let's not mess with it. Just, and, and, And you know, if you've ever stepped over into a river or stepped into a pond, you take about the first, second step and you go through. All right. Then you try to pull your foot out and you don't have a tennis shoe. You've been there. Then you're trying to figure out how I'm going to get this tennis shoe out. And they look down and watch this. They're kicking up dust. Ooh. Hey, that's my God. That's my God. That's my God. And you know what? Handful of times in life, he's told me to lead my family. Turn aside. I want you to camp here. All right, Lord, this is your choice. Let's see where I'm at. Oh, my goodness, and oh, my goodness, and oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, and oh, my goodness. Lord, I don't get this. You know what I do? A lot of times I react very much. Sorry. I know I should be better, but I react so many times like the children of Israel, at least an initial reaction of, well, I don't get this. And listen, I'm trying to do the best I can. And Lord, this isn't fair. This isn't fair. And God says, I'm not interested in fair right now. I'm interested in bringing glory and honor to myself right now. That's what I'm interested in. And by the way, when this whole thing gets done, you're going to see that it's more than fair. Stand still and watch. All right. Have I quieted your heart? Good. Now, which way's forward? That's not it. No, that's not it. No, you're right. That's not it, Lord. Lord, honestly, I know that's not it. Well, where is it? It's there. But what? Go forward. And I've walked into church when I didn't feel like walking in church. And I've gone soul winning when I didn't feel like going soul winning. And I've walked from there to here at times when I didn't feel like walking from there to here. And I've opened the Bible and encouraged others when sometimes I was so discouraged I could hardly hold on to the pulpit. But you know what? There's only one direction to go. Forward. I'm saying this to a generation of quitters. Start going forward. Forward, not into Egypt. Forward, not into self-destruction. Forward, not following the devil. Forward. Amen. This story's not over. Amen. 10 plagues happened. A miracle occurred. The blood was on the doorpost. You know what? You're a testimony to all the nations around you, all the people that are watching, and you get into one place, your first real test. And you're going to go jump in a gorge or go to the devil or turn around and go back to Egypt. Here's a thought. Go forward. But I don't understand. Good. Go forward anyway. I don't see it. Good. Go forward anyway. And you know what God in heaven does? He says, look at that. Look at that crazy Jerry Ross. I keep putting him in these situations. And he still a lot of times has a human reaction. But once he settles down and he gets still before me and he figures out his bearings, I can count on him. Even if he doesn't get it, I can always count on him to keep heading towards Canaan land and the perfect will of God for his life. And by the way, that's worked real good for 55 years. I'm not going to scrap the plan now. And for you young couples, it'll work real good for the next 50 years of your life. And teenagers, it'll work real good for the next 70 years of your life if you just write this thing down and say, okay, when I get between a rock and a hard place, I know what to do. I know what to do. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you, dear God, that you, Lord, it's hard to pray this, but I want to thank you that there's been the rock and hard time places. And I want to thank you that sometimes the only options I had was a gorge or a stronghold or the devil or the world or a raging, noisy sea. And I want to thank you for making me camp there a while. And I want to thank you, dear God, for being patient as I work through my very human fears. I have very human emotions, and I want to thank you for stilling my heart, and I want to thank you for two words. Go forward. Go forward. Help my people. There's a lot of them that's hurting, dear God. I look at the young couples and God, I'd much rather take their place than watch them go through it. I'm older. I'm more grizzled. My faith is stronger. I'm more tested. I want to do it for them. I want to do it for our teenagers. I want to do it for our kids. Lord, I'd like to do this for Miss Barbara. But Lord, we all have to be brought here. We don't get to do it for each other. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would just kind of as a church family rally around those that are between a rock and a hard place. Dear God, help them, dear God, as they work through the human, very human part of it. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us. Those of us that have been through a few things in life, may there rise up amongst the congregation some Moses, some spiritual leadership that just comes alongside and says, I know you're afraid, but don't fear. Just be still and watch. Watch the salvation of the Lord. Lord, bless us in this morning invitation, we pray in Jesus' name.